glad for the opportunity to come and deliver God's word to his people. God's word is quick and powerful. We just don't come here to waste our time. We don't come here to sing for entertainment purposes. We come here to worship the living God, don't we? And how many of you believe that we have a living God? Do you? Do we have a living God? Okay, then our worship to a living God should be lively, right? Because we are not just offering with no purpose. Our worship has a purpose. And the purpose of our worship is to glorify God. So I would invite you one more time to stand up with me for one more time for a few minutes. And let's sing this song that we know, He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He's Lord. If you don't have a PowerPoint, it's fine. He is Lord, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And just concentrate on the Lord, worship Him from the bottom of your hearts. Can we sing that, please? He is Lord.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. One more time, He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He has risen from the dead. He is Lord. Yes, knee shall bow, the tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Yes, my knee shall bow. Yes, my knee shall bow. Yes, my tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. One more time, let's just go with a slower pace, just like this. He is Lord, He is Lord, He has risen from the dead, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Everyone together, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, with our eyes closed, let's sing to God. Every knee shall bow, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Yes, Father, just keep on playing, my dear sister. Just keep playing slowly behind. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time. And we know, God, that you are risen from the dead because we believe in your word, and the word proclaims to us that Jesus has been risen from the dead. And your word says, He, our Lord Jesus Christ, through the resurrection from the dead, has been proclaimed again as the Son of the living God because of the resurrection from the dead. And we know today that the power that we carry comes because Jesus is risen from the dead. Our God's not dead, He's alive. And because He's alive, He's living in our midst tonight, this afternoon. As we stand here, the Word of God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. And therefore, according to your word, when we have assembled here, here in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He is in this place because He said He would be. And He doesn't miss His word. And according to His word, He is here in this place. And we are worshiping a living God who is here in the midst of our praises. He dwells among the midst. He dwells in the midst of the praises of His people, your word says. And therefore I ask you, God, I pray that you give us undivided attention. Give us the grace to listen to your word. Give us the grace to apply this word into our hearts, that your word may reside in us. Your word may remain in us. And let your word produce the fruit that it has to produce in our hearts. I give every mind, every body, every spirit into your control today. And speak to us from your word. In Jesus' mighty, matchless name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You did a wonderful job. Thank you. Appreciate. I'm reminded of a story when I was a young teenager. Probably a little older than you, still a teenager. I was an adult, but a teenager. And I had started to preach. So I was a preacher. Once I went with my father, and my father said, "Why don't you take a session?" I said, "Okay." And I took a session, and I was talking about justification. I had only one definition of justification, and I preached that. I had heard somewhere. I hadn't been to school, not a seminarian then. I knew one definition. And I preach justification means just as if I had never sinned. That's the kind of definition I gave because that's what I knew as a teenager. There were two Catholic nuns there, and they were counselors, biblical counselors. Of course, I'd been to school, seminary, and stuff like that. And after I preached, they came to me and they began to talk about justification, and they wanted to give their explanation of what justification is. And then I, with my small teenage brain, started to justify my justification, saying what I said was the only way of looking into justification. But praise God, these two women were mature enough to understand. And they say, "It looks like you're trying to contend with us, and it doesn't look I want to argue with you, but I was just giving my perspective." And they stopped right there, and they didn't go forward. Thank God for people who are mature. And when we are young, when we are teenagers, our blood is boiling, you know, we are so outrageous, we want to do everything, our zeal is burning. But the Bible says zeal without knowledge is not good. Zeal without knowledge is not good. Sometimes with our zeal, with our enthusiasm, we go and do a lot of things, and then we create more harm in the body of Christ than create good things. So today, we are going to talk about, we're going to see from the book of 1 John, as you know, 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 28 and 29. I'm going to talk about the spirit of Antichrist, which the Bible talks here, and then what to do when we are attracted to the world. What to do when we are attracted to the world? How do you balance your life? How can you remain in Jesus Christ, yet stand for your values, what God has given us as teenagers, as young people, or people in this world? Let's dwell right into the text. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. "Children," he says, "it is the last hour. And as you heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us." Let me stop there. And I know you heard this sermon from the last passage. I don't know who preached. Was it you, Pastor? 15? Okay, so you heard the sermon from last week. So what's the context of this message here? In verse 15, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do not love the world. When I was growing up, this is one of my favorite passages. Do not love the world. I mean, my understanding about this passage was very different. I came up in a very conservative house. And you know, we couldn't watch movies, we couldn't go to the theater, that's different. I mean, we didn't even have a TV at home until I was 18 years old, or maybe 17, I was in my 12th grade, I believe. We didn't have TV, and I was a great fan of cricket. I don't know whether you know what is cricket. Do you know what is cricket? Indian baseball, that's a good way of saying that. There are striking similarities between baseball and cricket. There's striking similarities, a lot. I've been now understanding what is baseball. So I used to always go to my neighbor's house to watch cricket matches, and my father saw that I was going to my neighbor's house to watch cricket matches because I was crazy after the match, and then so he brought home a TV. So watching TV was sin. Because for us, it meant like it is world is attracting you, and so it's sin. I grew up in an ultra-conservative family. But my values instilled in that conservative the environment was not bad. Of course, that was too much in a sense, but the values they instilled in my heart, saying, look, the world always attracts us. The world always attracts us. And then in this passage, John says there are so many antichrists. Now, let me bring to you this, let me pose this question to you. What do you think is the spirit of antichrist? What do you think is the spirit of antichrist? What is anti? I mean, in American English, you will say anti. I'm sorry, I cannot change myself to anti. It takes a while for me. It's been 5 years, but I'm still anti, because that's the way I pronounced with my British English as my background. What is the antichrist? I mean, what do you think is anti? What is anti? Something which is against, right? The word anti is something which is against. Now, what do you mean by antichrist? What do you mean by antichrist? Spirit? Or a kind of understanding which goes against the principles of Christ. Go with me to verse 20 and 21, 22. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you know you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. So now, according to this text, what is that antichrist, or something which is anti, against Christ? What is the spirit of antichrist? Is that the spirit of antichrist does not agree with Jesus or the Father. In other words, it doesn't agree that Jesus is in the Father and Father is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the anti form of Christ's spirit, or in other words, the Christian spirit or this Christian teaching. Now, I don't want to go too deep theologically because I know this text is difficult to handle. I don't want to go too much. What I mean to say is the sum of this is the author is saying there is a spirit in the world which is in work at so many teachers who are part of us. Now they're not among us. They have gone out from us, and now they are teaching a gospel or a culture or a lifestyle which is against the Christian lifestyle. You remember in 15, do not love the world and the things of the world. Now he says there are people who are with us, who were part of us, but they left us and they went, and they're now teaching a different gospel. Now let me come to our present world. You go to a school where you have so many people. I do not know how many Chinese ethnicity or Indian ethnicity students are there in your schools. Do you have Indians in your school, in Coppell? Only? Only two in your grade. Seven Indians in your class. How many children are there in your class? I mean, students. See, look at that. The younger kids have more. 13 Indians. You know, I grew up in India. I went to high school in India. Sorry? 3-4. Just imagine, I went to a school which had around 1,000 students. Okay, how many students? Around 1,000 students. And guess how many Christians were there in that school? Four. Me and my brother, and there was another family from our church, the brother and sister. Four of us, Christians, in 1,000 students, among 1,000 students. So it was a Hindu school, for your kind information. And they started their school with a Sanskrit prayer to their gods. So they would pray to the goddess of knowledge and invoke her, saying, "Goddess of knowledge, give us knowledge today as we learn." I rebelled. I said, I, being a Christian, cannot say your prayer. Although I was a teenager and I was too zealous, and it had repercussions on me. I was almost being expelled from school. But anyway, I was in my 10th grade at that time, and they couldn't do much because in India it is public exams in 10th grade. So once I'm registered with the government, the school cannot kick me out. So I was doing well in academics and stuff like that. And so they came right in front of me in our assembly and stood in front of me to see whether I pronounced their prayers or not. I was just babbling. I was not saying their prayers. They found out. My lip ultimately did not sync with their prayers. Go ahead. No, it doesn't work. It's Sanskrit. It's not English. It's Sanskrit. So it's Sanskrit prayer. So you need to say it in a certain way, rhythm, rhyme to that. You cannot escape. Just say watermelon. It cannot happen. So what happens? What am I trying to say? When we go into this kind of situations where we have so much of Antichrist, imagine 1,000 students and 0.004, is that right? Four people out of 1,000? 0.004, I'm not too good in math. You should be better, although I'm an Indian. 0.004% of people were Christians, and we had great trouble in that school. And now, let me apply the same principle into your life still. When you go to the world where all of them are counterculture to the Christian values, we've been fed in our media, we've been fed through our talks, through our interaction with people, everything that goes almost against the principle or the spirit of Jesus Christ, it's almost Antichrist. And some of them who were in our camp have gone to the other camp and have started to preach against the beliefs and systems which the Bible preaches. So what do you do at this kind of circumstance when you are faced with such a great challenge? You know, the technology boom has overtaken the whole world. Did you know in the last few centuries, what was the greatest invention of human beings that changed the entire world? Can you name one invention? Chocolate was there from Africa or thousands of years, actually. Sorry? Glue, litter, yeah. Good. Those were there from. I mean, if you come to India, there are forts which are 1,000 years old, and then you have screws and bolts in them. You will not believe it, but they did. Memes. Go back 500. Grass. Transistor. What really started the revolution, including the Reformation? Taxes. phones. These are all later inventions, right? Taxis. Okay, it's going everywhere. Let me come back and let me get it to focus. Even before that, I mean, how was the Declaration of Independence proclaimed? Paper. What did you say? Newspaper. But what do you do to get the newspaper? You print them, right? The printing machine was the greatest invention, which changed the whole technology of the 15th century. And that was in China. That was long, long ago. I mean, okay, whatever it is. My point is this. Printing press began to spread the news in a way that it couldn't be done before. And they had to rely on manual writing, and they had to rely on sending them on horsebacks. And now after printing press, what could be done was one copy could be mass produced, right? That's how printing press changed. But if you look at the recent technology, what is something, the greatest other invention that really transformed the recent technology? I'm talking about communication, the internet. The internet. The internet is the second. Maybe, but. All right. So what I mean to say is there are two things that changed the world in a different direction. One was the invention of the printing press, where the Bibles could be printed at the same time. The propaganda, anything positive or negative, happened through the printing press. What the next thing that happened was the invention of the internet, right? So you have your phones on you right now. Computers were there even before internet was there. Right, so internet actually changed the way computers were used, the way computers communicated with each other. A computer would be standalone notes before, but because of the internet, it became a network, and the network started the revolution. Anyway, I want to finish my sermon. If I keep on talking here, I will not be able to get my sermon. My point is this, that in the midst of the anti-Christ spirit in the world, which is there against God and His principles, what are we to do when we are faced with this kind of a situation in our lives? And the Bible says in verse 20, in chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And then John writes here in verse 26, I write these things to you about these who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you have received from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him. The key for us in the midst of all this bombardment of technology, my sisters here, please look at me. Can you give me your undivided attention here, please, on the right side, please, thank you. In the midst of all these situations that we go through, are the kind of anti-Christ spirit in the world, how are we to respond? The Bible tells, abide in Jesus Christ, and the anointing which is in you will teach you. In other words, the anointing in us, that's the Holy Spirit in us, will conform to us what is right, because we know the truth from the Word of God, and the Word of God is witnessed into our heart through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now, I just want you to warn you, I want all of us to be encouraged through this warning, is that the devil is always behind our fall. He's always behind our fall. He always wants to see that we fail when it comes to the things of God. But the Bible says, abide in Jesus Christ. How do you abide in Jesus Christ? How do you remain in Jesus Christ? Any ideas? What do you think? You have learned all these years and you have been listening to John's gospel. How do you abide in Jesus Christ? How do you remain? The word abide can also be translated as remain and reside. Is there a difference between remain and reside? Is there a difference between remain and reside? It has a nuance of both remaining and residing. Have you heard the word of residence? Where is your residence? Do you use it here in America? Where is your residence, right? What do you mean? The residence means the place you live or reside. Okay? So you might be residing in a place, but you would be going out to work maybe. Maybe you don't live in that place permanently. You go to another town, go there, conduct business and come back. And you live there 2 days and 4 days you're out of the house. So you reside there, but you don't remain there. You reside there, but you don't remain there. The Bible is talking about, when it talks about abiding in Jesus, it's not just residing. Good morning, Jesus, I'm with you, and then getting out and not got nothing to do with Jesus the rest of the day. That's not being connected with Jesus. Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. You see, there Jesus then tells, remain in my love. How do you remain in Jesus Christ? There needs to be a connection with Jesus all the time. When you are bombarded with temptations, when you are bombarded with all kind of things that affects your life, you need to be connected. You know, one of the things that Jesus taught us in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, what is the last part of it? Just before thine is the glory, I don't know, it depends. Before that, obviously. What does the Bible say? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil or the evil one. You know, this prayer is supposed to be a daily prayer, right? Is that a daily prayer? I mean, not the verbatim, word by word, but at least the spirit of the prayer is a daily prayer. So God tells us to pray that we will be delivered from the evil one. And this happens only when we are connected with Jesus Christ. My young brother and sister, how do you remain connected in Jesus Christ? Do you ever talk to him? And do you ever talk to him continuously? You know, when I was a kid, I went to a weird school. And when we had tests regularly, and then after we had a test, they would give out our answer sheets in front of everyone, announcing our grades to the whole class. So it's a shame if you didn't make 100, right? It's India. I mean, I know, Asia, India, you have pressure, peer pressure to survive. So in the afternoons when we had lunch period, I shouldn't have done that, but we had benches. I mean, we had benches and they were only 3 feet or so, and we would sit on planks. So I would run on each bench, third grade. I should be seven or 8 years old, I think, hopping on from one bench to another and just confessing, I shouldn't get my paper back today. I shouldn't get my paper back today. That's all I tried to do. You know, that was constantly trying to say to God, Lord, please help me. But you know, the problem is we run to God only when there is a problem. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We cry out to God, we pray only when there is a problem, but when everything seems well, we don't go to God. We don't see a necessity to go to God's presence when all is well. You need to understand that sometimes are favor times. We live in favor times. Sometimes are testing times. The Bible says, do not deliver deliver us from the evil one, and before that, do not lead us into testing or temptation. Let us not enter into that. Please take us away from testing. Sometimes we are in the favor time. All is well. Everything goes well. Everything looks perfect. You're making money. You're making good friends. Educationally, your academics is well. Your orchestra is doing well. Your extracurricular activities is doing well. You got good grades. You're doing well every area of your life, but sometimes there are testing times in our lives. I want you to be aware, my young friend, you're too young sometimes to understand all these things. Soon you will be an adult. Soon you will be an adult, and the reality of life will hit you, and it will hit you hard. When it hits you, are you prepared to look to your master when it is need? If you haven't practiced to enter into the presence of God, it's going to take longer when the time of need really arises. Be prepared. Remain in Him now. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to draw closer to God. Now is the time to go to Him and in His presence. I understand that you are still in school. I understand that you still do not have that maturity. I understand that you still do not understand everything. But remember this as you grow as responsible adults. Remember this. God wants you to remain in this world, because in the world there is already a spirit of Antichrist. The world attracts you. The world wants to take you away from the Lord. I want to warn you as a pastor. I came to the Lord when I was a teenager. My time was different. Your time is entirely different. My point is this. Technology, as good as it has done, at the same time, it is taking us away from the Lord. It is taking us away from what God has got for us. But we have to be aware of this fact that the devil is trying to attract us and take us away from God. We ought to remain in Jesus Christ. Shall we all stand up at this time and look to God in prayer? And let's ask Him at this time to help us to remain in Jesus Christ. There's only one way to escape this kind of situation. There's only one way to escape the situation, remaining in Jesus Christ. Staying connected to Jesus Christ all the time. Not just once or twice during the day, but all the time staying close to your master. Cultivate, my young brother and sister, the habit of entering into God's presence. Close your eyes. Do not look here and there. Please give me your undivided attention for a few minutes as I want to lead you into prayer at this time. You may not understand the seriousness of remaining in Jesus Christ, but I, as God's servant, want to pray for you so that you understand the seriousness of being or remaining and staying in Jesus Christ. That's the only way we are going to escape, because that is when the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which is in us, will lead us into the truth that we know by the Word of God. We will not err on the wrong side. Just take a minute, be silent, and think about what you heard today. The first thing that we heard was, yes, there is a spirit of Antichrist which wants to draw us away from Jesus Christ and His teaching, which doesn't agree with Jesus has come in the flesh. It doesn't agree a lot of teachings about Jesus. It wants to take you away from God and His Spirit. On the other hand, Jesus, John the Apostle, writes here, remain in Jesus Christ. Two things. There is a spirit that wants to take you away from God. And then the Bible says, remain in Jesus Christ. Stay connected in Jesus. How does that happen? When you pray regularly. When you pray regularly. Can I ask my sister to come and pray that same song again, will you please? Thank you so much. Play slow and gently. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today? Are you remaining in Jesus Christ this afternoon as you listen to His word. I call out to you and I proclaim the living word tonight, to this afternoon. I proclaim that Jesus encouraged us to remain in Him, and John the Apostle encourages us to remain in Jesus Christ. Sing it slowly and gently as a prayer. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He has risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Yes, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall. Every tongue. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every knee. One more time, please. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He is Lord. Yes, my knee shall bow. Yes, my tongue confess that Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this afternoon for every young brother and sister here. I pray that you touch their inner person. Revive them, O Lord. Give them the experience of walking with you. Give them the experience of new birth. Give them the experience of remaining in you. Although they may not understand the graveness, the seriousness of staying in you at this age, but Lord, catch them young, I pray thee, O Father. I pray, catch them young that they may understand the truth of your word. Lord, raise up the future generation, raise up future men and women of God from this people of God, that one day I might hear, that night, that afternoon when you preached, I heard the voice of God calling me to come to His ministry. Lord, let me hear these kind of testimonies later in my life, that on that day when you preached, I gave my life to Jesus. On that day, I gave my life to serve the Lord. Lord, I pray that you raise up future Deborahs. I pray that you raise up future Ruth. I pray that you raise up future Marys. I pray that you raise up future Miriams in this place. Oh Lord, great people who stood with faith, O God. And I also pray that you raise up Daniels. I pray that you raise up the prophets, the Ezekiel, prophet Ezekiel, Isaiah, who went for the Lord. You raise up people who will hear you, like Peter and John, who gave their life for Jesus Christ. Raise up the army of young people from here this afternoon, I pray, O God, that their life may be transformed, not only theirs, but they will transform the lives of millions. Millions for Jesus Christ. I pray that you would control their lives. Lead them not into temptation, O Lord, and deliver them from the power of the evil one every day and every moment of their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much.